I'm really sorry. But okay, this second part is going to be more light, right? Pun. Tell
We
me
try.
yes.
We try.
So,
What is it?
if I think we are almost all here, just miss a few people. Yes. Antonio, this
Definitely.
time did you raise your hand or not? When I see your hand,
Or I did. I did.
okay, so please go ahead.
Okay.
Do you have a question or not? Okay, so fantastic. I think, I mean, we can restart. So I share my screen just to introduce you to this new part. Okay, sorry, that was not there. Okay, so this second part of our workshop today, we are now entering into the topic related to the digital competence of educators. So we will start looking more in detail into each of the four areas that we introduced yesterday. Today, we will start with the digital resources area. And in particular, we will look into two competence, content curation and content creation. And then, as we anticipated this morning, tomorrow and the last day on Thursday with Maria and Lisa, you are going to look into detail in much detail into the other three areas: empowering learners, teaching and learning, and assessment. And as we mentioned, we'll try to, I mean, introduce you to these competencies by giving you very short feedback and proposing hands-on activity. So let's start with the area of digital resources within the DigComp Edu framework. As you can see, is one of the four key areas, core areas of this framework. And this area includes three main competencies. And we will look in each of these in a moment. These three are selecting digital resources, creating, modifying digital resources, and then, of course, being able to managing, protecting, and sharing digital resources. So the main focus for this competence area is to try to describe and capture the nature of the digital competence of educators when they are, as I say, interacting in a way and creating digital resources, and mostly describe which, I mean, how the digital competence of the educator is characterized when they have to effectively use digital technology to tailor the digital resources for the learning context and tailor these resources to meet individual learners' needs. So how the teachers, how educators can effectively use digital technology with respect to digital resources. I mean, sorry, this is a mistake in my slide, so because now we start from the first, of course, but today with our activity, we will mostly concentrate on the last two because the first one is partially also embedded in the last one. Okay, so let's start from the first competence of this area, selecting digital resources. Within the context of the theoretical framework of the DigComp Edu framework, this competence is defined as you can see here. That is, this competence concerns the educator's ability to identify, evaluate, and select digital resources for teaching and learning, planning their use, taking into account the specific learning objectives, the educational approach, the learning context, and the individual needs of the learners. So, to be digitally competent at different level of proficiency, the teacher should be able to, as is written here, identify, evaluate, and select the digital resources. And mostly, do these three steps of identifying, evaluate, and select taking into account the learning objective that these resources would contribute to, but also the kind of pedagogical approaches. So selecting different type of digital resources to propose and to convey different pedagogical approaches, as well as differentiated the type of resources to meet individual needs of the learner. So we are thinking, they are referring to the different learning styles of learning, of learners, sorry, and so ensure that the same content is conveyed using different type of resources, audio resources, resources or video, or as I said, to adapt to the different learning styles. As you can also see here, this specific competence is then declined, is then articulated in the different level of six level of proficiency. And you will have better examples if you look back into the selfie for teacher self-reflection process that you did yesterday. So, I mean, if you have any chance after this today workshop, please have a look there. See how each of these three competences articulates. And it is also, defined in the different expertise, in the different proficiency level. As you can see, at the higher level, mid-high level, expert to leader level, what does it mean, this competence? What does it imply? At expert level, it means being able to identify and assess suitable resources using complex criteria. So having a very clear strategy and adopting a clear strategy and a clear set of criteria to assess the suitability of these resources. At a more higher level, at the leader level, it means also considering several aspects, considering the reliability and suitability of the source of the resources, and so have a combination of different criteria, and also verifying the source, verifying the neutrality of these resources. And as you can see here, contextualize the set of resources for the students. So pointing out also to students potential bias or potential element that affect the credibility of the sources. So as you can see, more complex elements are considered even in this context. Okay, the next competence that we're looking into more in detail in this area, we skip to the one that is numbered 2.3 for the commission, because the logical structure goes from selecting to creating to managing and protecting. But we shift to the last one because this will be also our initial activity, hands-on activity that we will start in a moment. So the another competence embedded in this area regards exactly the managing, protection, and sharing of resources, and concern educators' ability to manipulate existing resources where it is allowed, depending, of course, on the copyright that are put on the top of these resources, creating or co-creating new digital education resources, planning their use in relation to the learning objective, learning context, and the specific pedagogical approach. So here, differently from the previous one, we are the competence of the educator is about, regards the ability to share resources, embedding them into the digital environment. And when we mean sharing resources and managing and protecting, we are not at all thinking again from the technological perspective, but mostly from the elements that regard the copyright and the effective way also to address and reach different target groups. So as you can see, there is a mention, directly mentioned, to effectively protect the personal and sensitive data for instance, of students who might have been created the resources that the teacher is going to share and manage, and restrict access to resources as appropriate. And of course, keep into consideration the copyright and correctly reference resources accordingly. To a more advanced kind of proficiency level, to leader levels, this means digitally publishing self-created resources. Most of the of us, I mean, and most of educators do this kind of action, but sometimes not with such kind of reflection or proficiency level in terms of mostly of copyright. I compile comprehensive digital content repositories and make them available to learners and other educators. So another aspect is related to the management, not only the protection and the respect of copyright, but also developing advanced abilities in managing and organize these resources. Of course, always in respect to the license. And mostly regarding this part of managing and sharing the resources, we will look today into this aspect of the digital competence that is related to the content curation. Content curation is a very important process that requires a specific ability, and is very much relevant for educators because of the great number of resources that are already available on internet that we are creating as educators. So it becomes very much important also to develop competencies in relation to this content curation. So what is content curation? It is a process that allows educator to gather, adapt, and use resources from multidisciplinary fields to meet educational goals. So while we are collecting, we are identifying and gathering and adapting these resources, there is also the need to develop this ability to organize and manage these resources directly link the resources to the educational goals and the needs of the learner. This competence implies strategies such as synthesis, analysis, evaluation, as we said, adoption of specific criteria to perform all this activity, and might not necessarily include or need the creation of original content, because as we said, there are already a great number of resources that have already been developed and that we use almost every day in our teaching activities. But there is a need to better organize and sharing in a meaningful and systematized way. Now, also, the content curation process can allow the teacher to involve the learners and make them actively participate in this process of gathering, selecting, analyzing, and sharing, creating so an opportunity for them as well to reflect around these resources. So here you can see, let's say, a more structured description of the content creation process. Very briefly, as you can see, I mean, this process is can be defined as a sequence of specific actions that start from, first of all, from the collection of a set of resources which are looking into a specific topic, for instance, area, problem, then categorization of all the elements that have been gathered, just to include or exclude some elements by comparing and generalizing, so to be sure that we are building up a reliable and solid and valid set of resources, and then further and critically evaluate the elements that has been retained, by checking, for instance, the sources, by see if they convey some bias or if they put on some barriers for some of our students. and then reorganize the contents that we have gathered to create a more specific, based on the educational goal that we would like, of course, to contribute to achieve through these resources. So it's a matter of repurposing these resources and finally contribute to the sharing, to the circulation of such compilation, of such set of resources. And as you can see, again, it's not a matter of technology. There are a lot of platforms that can help us in performing all each of these steps, but it's just more a matter of approach of methods as well. So as I mentioned, there are a lot of platforms that are, I mean, that have been developed with this specific, for content curation specifically. Here we can see an example, Wacklet. There are other, many others. You will have a list of a proposed list of selected platform in a Mural, and we will see in a moment. But it's again, it's not a, the problem is not the platform, it's mostly the approach to this. But just to show you a platform, and I mean, I stop very quickly, and we move to the hands-on activity. We will not use this platform. Oh, that's nice. We will not use this platform to do the activity. We will use Mural, because also Mural, it's proved, I mean, can be used effectively to do this content curation process. But I mean, the those that are the platform devoted to this, as you can see, allows you to share specific material, to collect this material that could be PDF, that could be links, that could be Twitter posts. And considering really the amount of information that we, and the amount of resources that every day we meet, we find, it is very much important to start organizing. As I said, allows also students to contribute to this collection is a way to see if they grasp the core elements that they should find. Because in this process of identifying, selecting, evaluating, they really need to apply the knowledge of that topic to be able to perform this process adequately. Okay. I will just stop here. Wacklet is an open source, is a free software, not an open source, sorry, is a free environment. So I would suggest you also to explore that. Maybe you are using something else. And now you see in the chat, Pan has already shared the link to Mural. So Pan, please introduce us to your activity on Mural.
Thank you, Steph. I'm sharing also with you my screen to see the new Mural we're going to use. The link is in the chat, also on Moodle. Here you see that we have, again, the two groups that we will split in a second. Again, here on the left, we have this list of different platforms that you can use for content curation. It's just an indicative list, but for each of them, we have a brief description, the link, and if it is free or not, and so on. You can explore this later on. Here we have in its group workspace the model that Stefania presented, that we start from the collection, categorization, criticism, conceptualization, and circulation of the resources we collected. And your task is quite simple and straightforward. Your mission is to collect and curate digital resources for introductory course on backward design. Imagine that you want to introduce backward design to your students, to your colleagues, to someone, okay? And you collect some digital resources you find online. So first, you collect the resources individually using a variety of formats. Can be videos, can be articles, blog posts, images, podcasts. There is a lot. We put already several of them in our Mural that we worked earlier. But if you search backward design approach, you will find much more. So in 5 minutes, you will collect the individual and you put here in this space what you collect individually. To do so, you can go here to files and it will use from your computer if you have saved somewhere, or just copy and paste an image or a link for a web page or whatever. 5 minutes to do it individually, to collect each of you to contribute with one resource, let's say, okay? And then as a group here, you have to follow the rest of the steps and say, okay, maybe you see some overlapping, some similarities, to categorize the resources, put the videos together, maybe the podcast together. It's up to you how to structure, to see if some of them are maybe not so well prepared and maybe they don't fit for your purpose. Some of them maybe you can exclude. And then you can reorganize. You can organize based on some progression, simpler ones, more complex, or by type. It's up to you. And then you can put a catchy title and be ready to share with the others. So 5 minutes to contribute with at least one resource, each of you in the group individually, and then as a group to discuss and see how to restructure and make some more, meaning out of these resources, to curate, actually. This is the curation, okay? So if you don't have any question, I will launch the breakout rooms, where again, the blue and the green group, and let's try to do it and see how this works in practice, okay? Any reflection about this activity? I think we can invite one person from each team to more or less describe what we did. From my group, who wants to say more or less what we achieved at the end?
I can say if you want, Ben.
Thanks, Martina. Yes.
And,
yes,
please. Yeah, so we start with just the collection of the resources. And yeah, of course, we also, it happened to find the same sources and same kind of resources, videos in particular. So then in the second step, we followed a line to, just explain what it is backward design. So we found an image that was describing what is backward design, then a comparison with the traditional model, a deeper explanation and an example of the application of backward design in terms of videos.
Thank you, Martina. Exactly, this was our process. We followed three out of the five steps because we said that if we had more time, we had also to check the quality of all the resources, maybe to reorganize a bit and then to publish. But as Martina very well explained, we have this logic to present the resources. There are many ways to do it, but I think it was a very reasonable and good way to do it. Anyone from the other group?
Yes, me.
Yes, Francesco, please.
Okay, basically we did the same thing. So we start to gather different images, mainly also video, also some, for example, links from external resources, and after we organize them in a way that to describe the process of backward design. So it, just to think that these like big folder with a topic in which we can put all the the different media and of course the video after describe the process of the backward design. No. One of the difficult thing is that okay, the short time Of course, and for this reason, I think we have mainly image and not also documents or the other things.
Exactly. Thanks, Francesco. Exactly. We know that the time is limited. We want just you to understand the logic because now you have the model. It is on Moodle. It is going to be in your resources. So if you decide to do it yourself, then you have plenty of time to do it. But the most important is to show how important it is to do all these different steps, because sometimes we find the resources, but if we don't check the quality, for instance, if maybe they are very well structured, but not for our audience, maybe it's more advanced or less advanced for our audience. We need to check if they fit the purpose, okay? And then the way we present them, the way we group them is also very important, to have a logical structure that makes easier for us and for the learners to find what they need when they need it. All these steps are important. And the other thing is also, as we discussed, is the variety of the formats, because each of these different formats has advantages or disadvantages. I mean, the images show directly the main aspects. The videos offers you also some more visual elements and so on. Podcast is more accessible when you commute or whatever, or of people with disabilities. Each of them has some advantages. It's good to have a variety. Stefania.
I just wanted to make a suggestion, that is, whenever you have time or curiosity, go back to your Selfie for Teacher self-reflection yesterday and see there what was your perception, because there is a dedicated, a specific example for a specific competence on content curation, just as a way, you know, to see the perception and the new understanding through this very dirt and quick activity that is very far away from experienced it fully. But I mean, again, that might be also a way to, or an element that now you would like to further improve if you see that is, if you think that is valuable. And then, as I said, it was also a way to show another type of activities that you might propose to your students on a specific topic, on a specific aspect of your course. Because as you have seen, I mean, evaluating, adopting certain criteria requires to apply knowledge as well of that topic. Otherwise, you're not creating a meaningful collection. You just collate elements. But as I said, you might consider this also as an example of activity for the students, where you might also provide them with specific criteria or specific requirements that they should address. Okay, but of course the time was, it's always a nightmare. It's very much limited. Could do a course, an entire course, an entire module just on this. Okay, we can do our 10 minutes break, Pan. What do you think? And then...
Yes, a 10-minute break, and then we have the last activity. Yes. There we have again prepared a small exercise on mural. We'll see if, how it goes. But let's have now the 10-minute break. We come back at 10 past one, okay?
Yes. See you in a moment.
To the next and final challenge for today. And now we're not going to just curate resources, but the idea is to create also resources, okay? And that's why we're going to do the final activity in another mural that I will share with you. But before that, I want to share with you my screen and present you a very powerful tool that is open source, that you can use in order to create resources like podcasts, okay? So if you agree, I will share my screen to show you this tool, and then we will move to Mural to see how we can create the script for a podcast, okay? Podcast is a very powerful digital resource that we can use nowadays with our students because, as I said earlier, you can also listen to the podcast when you are walking, running, commuting, and so on. And it's a very good way to have, you know, some lecture kind of things or information, but in a very a nice way that you can listen anytime you want. So I'm sharing my screen with you. Okay. You see Audacity, correct? Okay, here, this tool that, as I said, is open source. You can use it for free. It's very powerful. You can record anything you want, and you can record even many different tracks. Namely, you can record your voice, and then you can put also a song, the music clip, to use in the background and so on. I will do a recording just to show you what you can do. For instance, now that I'm speaking, you see that the tool is recording. I'm nervous when I'm recording. Okay. I did on purpose this because here, if I click here,
okay,
then it's here. You see, this one is the M that I did when I was speaking, okay, and I can easily just select and delete this part. So now this one is also another M. I can also delete this one. So you can not only record, but also edit the sound. It can be, you can edit a sound that you recorded or something you found, a clip or whatever you want to use, a lecture or something, you want to use just one part or to do a mix of different recordings and all these kind of things. It has also so many effects here, fade in, fade out, so many options that probably you don't need. But the most important is that you record, or if there is something you have to repeat, you can just copy and paste. You know, you can do all these different functions that it's very powerful to record, edit, and at the end you can export what you created as MP3, as WAV, any way you want in order to use it for your purposes. MP3 is a good way because it is compressed and takes short space. For instance, imagine you have a course, you did a lecture of 1 hour, you know that most of the students were not able to follow this, but you record in 5 minutes the takeaways. Okay, you put it online, and students, when they are walking back home or doing their goals or whatever, they can listen the main takeaways from your course. Or you have students with disabilities and this and that, and in this way, they can have this very powerful additional digital resource. Okay, so here we speak about content creation, not content curation. In the previous step, in the content curation, I told you also you can find ready made podcasts from different services that you can use, but I think that it's a very easy and powerful way to create your own also audio clips that you can incorporate in your teaching. Now, the next and final step is the following. We'll go to, if you have any question, I'm happy to reply.
Yes, which is the, this is the tool, a tool of Mural?
No. This is another tool. It's Audacity. There is the link in the Mural that I will show you now, but it's a totally different tool.
Okay. Audacity.
Audacity. I will show you now in a minute in the Mural. I'm putting on chat the new link for the Mural. The idea is that good idea. This tool is open source, so there is nothing that you have to pay. It's very powerful tool. Okay. So now I put in the chat the link for the final mural. I'm sharing also the screen to show you a bit what we have to do there. Okay. Okay. Here you see that on the left, you see my screen, correct? On the left, I have the link for the Audacity. It's here. If you click here, it goes to the Audacity website that you can download or find for information. Here we have several resources from different podcasts for higher education, nice resources that you can explore if you are interested. And here we have again the two groups, the blue and green group, that we are going to work as groups to do the following. Here on this document, we have a script, the main elements of a podcast that we also put here in the workspace. Normally, a podcast has an opening music, a music clip or something that is also the identity of this podcast. The intro, that normally is the same text saying, hi, this is Pankabilis, welcome to my podcast, blah, blah, blah. Then you introduce your topic or your guest, if you have a guest. Then the next topic, blah, blah, blah. And then at the end, you have the recap and the outro and the closing music. More or less, this is the basic elements of each podcast, okay? So imagine you want to create this podcast for a specific topic. Here we ask you to do a podcast, the script for a podcast that is on Disco Bedu or Selfie. So as a group, the green group and the blue group will decide if the podcast will be on Disco Bedu or Selfie. And then one of the group members will find a nice clip for the opening. Another one can write here the introductory part, how to introduce, saying, hi, this is the podcast on Disco Bedu that we'd like to introduce on this and that. Then we say some basic information about this and the closing part, okay? Again, we are not going to have unlimited time. We're going to have more or less half an hour. And we are going to allocate the tasks to the group members just to introduce you on this structure, the main elements of a podcast. Because as I said earlier, if you decide to create a podcast about the takeaways of your course, you are not going to start directly with the takeaways. You have to say, or to put a nice music at the beginning or something, then to say, hi, this is Pankabilis, and these are the key takeaways from the course we had on Thursday on backward design. Then you say what you have to say as key takeaways, and then you have the outro that can be a call to action. You can say, I invite you to read also this and that, you know, this kind of things. You need always to have a structure and follow these basic steps. If you have any question, it's time to ask. Otherwise, I will click the button and we go back to our groups to start working for the next half an hour. Okay?
Anos.
Yes. Anos. Yes, yes.
I am not an expert about the podcast, but is it possible to select one of two options? One is a Disco what?
The one option for the podcast that we will decide as a group is to the topic to be on Disco Bedu, what Stefania presented, the digital competence framework for educators, or the Selfie for Teachers tool. Because all of us, we know these topics as we presented yesterday and today. And in this podcast, the topic must be one of the two.
Okay. Digicomp Edu. Digicomp Edu. Yes. It's It's a digital competence education tool, something like
no,
that.
No, digital competence for educator. And that was, I mean, we addressed that yesterday during the workshop yesterday. No worry. You find everything on Mural. Oh, sorry, on Moodle. Moodle, okay. Mural, on Moodle. And definitely this is the theoretical framework which describes the competence of the educators, digital competence of educators. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. And what is a recap?
When you at the end you do like the
summary. Yes, a summary. You do a summary of what has been said and just point out.
So and excuse me, the task now is making the postcard. We have to do the postcard.
It's the design. The design of the podcast.
Okay.
To do the podcast requires much more time. Before you go to start recording, you need to have the script. If you see the podcasters, they have first the script. Okay. And that's why here we would like to invite you. And we have provided here on the right the template how to do the script with examples, with everything. Maybe I will show you also this because this maybe help you to understand better the task.
Okay. And what is outro? Outro?
It's the opposite of intro. Intro is the opening music when you, and then the text you say.
The conclusion.
Yes.
Here, for instance, you see the exam. Intro the is, conclusion. For instance, you say, hello and welcome to podcast title. Show that shows you. I'm your host, Pankabilis. In today's podcast, I will let you know about this and that. This is the intro. And the outro is something similar. You have to say, thank you for staying with me in this podcast that we discussed this and that. Elif? What Elif? Say correct your name.
What is it? Perfect. It's perfect. Elif or Elif? Pronunciation is great. Elif.
Elif, sorry.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, maybe you already told how long it should be so we could just organize the length of the sentences. How long our podcast should be?
In this exercise, we like something very short, 5 minutes, let's
say.
Even less.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
We need just to have all the different basic steps. Yeah. In reality, the podcast can vary from 15-20 minutes up to 2 or more hours.
Yeah, but usually each episode is about 10 minutes, no more, because then it becomes very much difficult to find. But I mean, is this, as Pan mentioned, it is a very good way to provide the key takeaways from each course, from each module, from each lesson, no point of attention again for the students, or to ask them to do a podcast.
Exactly. You know? This is
Point out what they are, to collect also their feedback and see what they grasped from the
Is it different lesson. Than promotional videos or something like that when we ask our students to prepare a short video about the subject or like presenting themselves, the universities? Is it different than a promotional video?
Yeah.
The podcast is something much more like an advertisement.
Well, actually, the podcast is built to be, divided in episodes. So there is always a kind of, red lines that connect each episode. So, I mean, there is a kind of story or common topic which makes all these episodes, 10 minutes audio, which touch upon different aspects of the same topic or, a more general broad.
That's why you need also to brand somehow. That's why you use always the same music clip to start and finish your podcast. You use more or less the same intro and outro that becomes the identity of your podcast.
Yes. Okay. And you create a link. For instance, if I should do for today, I would say, as we talked yesterday about the Campedu, so see episode, number one. Today we look more. So you create a kind of story that is split in several steps.
And the main difference is that in the video, you need, to watch also the screen. With podcasts, you can, as we said, walk, run, do other activities and still following what it's about. We think that's a very good way to create digital resources that are quite powerful and easy to do. Even with a mobile, you can do the recording and the basic editing.
Sorry, Francesco, you raised your hand.
Yes, but there was the same question about the length.
Okay.
So let's move on the groups, the breakout rooms, and see what we can do in the next 25 minutes. Okay.
Fantastic. See you there. The podcast, Pan. Are you ready to record the two podcasts?
The problem is that I can record my voice, my deep.
Like we can. Okay, it is recording here with the Zoom then. Okay.
Yes, with the Zoom we are recording. What I can do is to take this recording from
Zoom,
and I can create the audio.
Okay, good.
And if you are really interested, I can provide more resources about podcasting. We have already several resources on Neural, but if you want, we can provide you more how to also publish.
Absolutely. So for each group, I mean, in our group, we have identified a speaker who is going to read the text of the podcast that has created the group. So this time, the green starts. What do you think, Pan? Do you allow us?
Okay, so the setting is the following. We are improvising, as you see. In my group, you have also to think and decide if we have a volunteer to read what we put there, okay? So the idea is the following. We'll mute our microphones. One person first from the green team will read their script. And then we'll do the same from the blue team.
Yes.
Then I will take these recordings from Zoom and I will edit a bit and I will share with you on Moodle the final product, okay?
Fantastic. Colleen, can you try to see if also the music works, if we are so lucky?
Yes, normally you just have to click on the link I put on the mural.
But in any case, I will edit and I will put the music.
Okay. So if it doesn't work now, for sure.
Yes, you need to download it on your computer. So
Okay. So, Pan, you orchestrate.
Who is the one who is going to read?
Elif. Elif is going to read.
Elif, okay. So, Elif, you start, and then I will put the music the next.
Okay, fine. Thank you. 1, 2, 3. Hello and welcome to Selfie for Teachers, an online tool to help primary and secondary teachers reflect on how they are using digital technologies in their professional practice. Teachers, have you ever stopped and reflected on how you teach? This instrument is also useful for university professors or communicators to improve digital competences. Selfie for Teachers will help you self-assess your digital competencies as an educator and improve the way you teach, offering your students with better learning outcomes. In today's episode, we will introduce how Selfie for Teacher can boost your awareness about using digital technologies in a learning experience. This instrument will help you to understand your ability to use digital instruments for education. It's a tool available at the European Union's portal. Our team is Elif, Francesca, Colleen, Tija, and Aldo is pleased to invite you to a podcast that will take 10 minutes of your time. Reflect on yourself to improve your competences. Try it, it's free. Take a selfie of yourself. You have no more excuses to begin to improve your digital competences. So that's all for today. In the next episode, we will look at the tool Selfie for Teachers provides to help you track your progress. That's all.
Well done. Great. I think you did a great job. Well done. And when you are doing the recording, if you say a word or anything that you want, you can just repeat and then I cut and put the correct one. Okay, this is another advantage of the podcast. Anything you want to edit, you can do easily. But well done, you have done a very good job in such a limited amount of time.
Thank you, Pan. Thank now, you, guys.
You raised the bar high, but we can also be at the same level. Who is going to be our podcaster? Blue team? Come on, we're not going to publish, no worries. It's just for fun and for us to see how it works.
And as long as you cut the video, you can publish it wherever you want. No, I'm just kidding.
Only sound very clean and...
you can publish me wherever you want.
I used to be a musician. I have...
today, it's not my best day.
No, you did a great job. Well done. Come on. Martina, I see you are almost ready to say, yes, I can do it.
Well, freely, I accept to do it.
I need a volunteer. Okay. So let's try, okay? As I said, no worries. If you want, you can just repeat something. No worries about anything else. I will edit and the final product we will see is going to be very good. Okay?
Okay.
Ready.
Okay. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this Selfie for Teachers podcast. Our team, Antonio, Ineta, Maria Rita, and Martina, is pleased to welcome you to a podcast that will take just 10 minutes of your time. Selfie for Teachers is a free online tool to help teachers reflect on how they are using digital technologies in their professional practice. This tool is very useful, and you can use it to learn more about the digital skills you have and identify areas that you can develop further. At the end, you will receive a personalized feedback report that can help you to learn more about your strength and establish where you need further support and development. And now we are at the end of today's podcast, and we just want to thank you for joining us and remind you to take the group self-reflection. We will discuss about it, we will discuss about the results in the next episode.
Great. Well done, Martina. And you will see tomorrow that the flow will be just perfect after a small editing, okay? So... I think this was it about the podcasting, the content creation, that is very important because all of us, we are consumers of information and so on. We find online information and material, but I think it's very important also to contribute to this knowledge base and develop our own material and digital resources. This is a very good and easy way to do it. Okay, Stefania.
Oh, sorry. Yes. So again, another intensive day, but as usually, you will find everything, including these two podcasts, into a day two folder on Moodle. The slides presentation, the template that we have seen today for the backward planning, still always there. And tomorrow with Mary and Lisa, you will see the other areas of digital content tomorrow and the day after. And now I think that during these last 2 minutes, we will kindly ask you also for a soft feedback. Sorry, just one more addition. In today's slides of content creation, you will find also the reference to Audacity, as well as an example of platform where you can publish your podcast and create your episode. Again, it's an open source or platform, very easy to use. So you can use Audacity to record your audio, as Pan Show does, and then the other platform to just publish and decide also, of course, who is going to be able to follow your podcast. Could be a very close group, like your students, or more open. So just to close the talk about the podcasting. Thanks again very much. During the next day, Pan and myself, we will follow Maria and Lisa sessions, so they will be the leaders of the next two sessions, the next 2 days workshops. But I mean, we will, of course, contribute as Lisa and Maria has done. Thanks a lot for all your support. Absolutely. Great. And thanks to each of you also for your engagement and for being passionate and follow all the activity that we have proposed. So Pam, can you launch the Mentimeter? That is our final.
Yes, we have actually also the quiz competition of a day.
Ah, today as well. Sorry, I forgot that. Great, Pam.
Yes, because you have to see.
Sorry, I forgot it. Yes, you're right. You're right. Well done. Yes.
So a very short quiz competition, good, and then the soft feedback, and then we're done for today. Okay. Okay, the link for the quiz competition is in the chat. So please select your, put your name there. Okay. I remind you that the faster you reply, the more points, but it must be the correct answer. Okay. Okay, the next one. Okay, and the winner is Martina. Well done, Martina. Okay, you see. Okay, then give me a second to stop this. Now, the final task for today. Oops, sorry. Give me a second to find the soft feedback one. Okay, here I have it. You have in the chat the one that will provide us with your feedback on day two. Okay. Please do also this, and then we're done. Okay, let's see. We have 9 colleagues who provided feedback. 10, okay. Clear understanding on disco bed, this is our source area, and on the backward design, 4.3 and 4.6 respectively. The interactive activities and mural useful and engaging, higher score, 4.9. The duration of the workshop 4.4, the input, your input 4.6, your expectations 4.7, and overall useful 4.9. I think it's quite positive feedback. Thank you so much. It was an intense day, but we hope that as you put here, that we find it useful and relevant. And tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, we continue with the other areas. And I wish you the best for the rest of the day. And thank you so, so much for your active participation and all this sharing and so on. Okay. You will find all the information on Moodle, and I promise to do later on the editing of the podcast and share with you.
Well done. Thank you very much. Thank you very
thank
much.
You. Thank you. Very
thank
much.
You.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank
you. Bye. 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 See you tomorrow.
Bye.
Bye.